Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Public Health Matters with me, your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. I have another exciting guest with me here today. Very excited to chat with this incredible pharmacist, entrepreneur, wife, mom, pretty much just all around incredible human. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let Dr. Ranger introduce herself, but just some housekeeping. I did want to remind the audience that if you would like to hear more episodes like this, feel free to subscribe to the Pharmacy Focus podcast series as part of Pharmacy Times podcast offerings. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Ranger so she can introduce herself before we dive into some questions today.
Hello, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Christina Madison. The feeling is mutual. You're so phenomenal. I'm so honored to be asked to be a guest, to join and kind of chat with you along with some of your listeners. I am Dr. Jade Ranger, as she mentioned. My husband and I own The Prescription Shop, which is a full service independent pharmacy. It is not a franchise. While there are other prescription shops around the country, we have no affiliation with them. We have different logos, different mottos. And so this has been a ground up operation from start to finish. We opened March 6th of 2019. We are located in Williamsburg, Virginia, the historic Triangle area. And it's just been an amazing journey to kind of jump out there, take this leap of faith, start your own pharmacy. My husband and I met in pharmacy school. We went to Hampton University School of Pharmacy. So our home by the sea, it is a HBCU. You know, a lot of people think that we kind of started this journey with the idea of thinking, oh, we're going to start our own pharmacy. And that's really not the case. It was something that kind of just came about. But we've been truly blessed through this experience. The journey has, you know, been filled with twists and turns, but it has been the most rewarding time of my career. And I definitely feel so fulfilled to be able to be in this space.
That being said, I'm pretty sure you guys just opened another location, right? So yes, independent pharmacy, woohoo, way to go, independent pharmacies, right? And in the sea of chains and the sea of franchises, it's so nice to see another pharmacy in particular that's very community-based, right? And so I talk about that a lot when I talk about population health and public health and how we can integrate more within the fabric of communities in order to improve health and well-being. So you guys have been open now for almost 5 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which is a huge milestone as somebody else who also follows business. So 5 years is kind of that benchmark that they say is like, if your business is going to succeed, like if you hit the 5 year mark, then you're more likely to continue to stay in business. So that's I'm sure a huge milestone. So hopefully you guys will be celebrating that as that anniversary comes up and is pretty much right around the corner, which is pretty great.
We have I was actually speaking to my event planner. We have a 5 year celebration in the works for Saturday, March 2nd, 2024. Ooh. So we're looking forward to celebrating with our friends and family. Because as you mentioned, it's definitely one of those benchmark things for us. And just, you know, we feel so blessed to have even made it this far, especially when it's not like we had any previous entrepreneur experience. We are not business management majors. So it feels really good to be around the corner from that 5 year mark.
That's awesome. So I'm just curious, you guys met in pharmacy school, and obviously you decided to open your own pharmacy. I'm just curious, like, what was the kind of the aha moment where you were like, okay, we can do this, and not just do it, but doing it in a community that maybe doesn't reflect how we look, right? So, you know, for people who are listening, we are both African-American women. And so I think chatting about sort of that community engagement piece, and then also making sure that you are able to establish rapport, that goes a long way when you are, you know, serving communities that are reflective of, you know, the race and ethnicity of the provider. But I think you guys have kind of turned things a bit on its head because you saw a need and you were like, okay, we're going to make this work. So I don't know if you want to chat a little bit about what the impetus was for that, or, you know, talk about, you know, your guys' journey from leaving your HBCU to being in a now less diverse area of the country.
So I will say my husband was a year ahead of me in pharmacy school, and, you know, he right out the gate, his career took off. When I was still doing my clinical pharmacy rotations, it was clear within the company that we worked for at that time that he was like a rising superstar. And so that's pretty much how people treated him. He has, you know, he does have a sense of charisma about himself. And so he was able to establish relationships really quick, but also his performance, I think, kind of spoke for itself. He was a pharmacy manager right after graduation for Farm Fresh, which used to be a local grocery store chain in this area. And the store started doing extremely well, especially with the clinical services, so the vaccines. And so what that looked like is when I was studying for my NAPLEX after we got married, he would use that time where he would be looking through senior living community magazines and brochures, and he would be calling them on his spare time and saying, hey, do you need someone to come out and provide flu shots for you all this coming flu season? And so it was one of those things where at the time we had no idea that this was kind of really laying the foundation for what would come to fruition years later. But those relationships that he established at Farm Fresh, when he then moved over to Walmart, he took those community clinics with him. Because he was the key person, the point person. So they continued to follow him. And so when he was with Walmart at that time, after graduation was a whirlwind. It was like, I graduated May of 2013. I'm sorry, 2012. We got married June of 2012. I started working right after I got licensed in August of 2012. And then we were pregnant with my first son in January of 2013. And he was born in September of 2013. So I basically was working part-time during that time frame, because obviously when you're working as two pharmacists in a retail setting, there's not a daycare that's going to keep your child for 12 hours. So I was more so kind of in the background at that time. He was busy kind of rising the ranks at Walmart. And so he got into this pharmacy clinical services role where he was overseeing 20 stores from Williamsburg to Virginia Beach and their services. And I think everyone thought he was going to stay on that track. They thought he was going to continue to kind of climb that corporate ladder. I think most people expected that, as did we. But I think somewhere along the line, he just started saying, you know what, I don't feel fulfilled in this role. Like, I don't have the same patient relationships that I used to have. I don't feel like I have the connection to the community that I used to have. And he was like, I think we should just, you know, let's start our own pharmacy. And I was saying, I don't think so. Like, I really was very against that because we had.
How you're like, no.
Yeah. I was not a fan. I'm like, you know why? We're living a very comfortable life. You know, we've got a very young family. That is very risky business, especially when, again, we're not from this area. You know, we don't really have roots here. I don't know if this area is going to come out and support us. And, you know, he kept weighing on me, and we did, you know, I finally became at least open to discuss it. And then over a course of some months, you know, we started talking about it, kind of prayed about it, spoke to our pastor about it. And from there, in my mind, it was like, okay, well, if God has this for us, then it's going to work out. So let's see. You know, we had had conversations about, okay, as we're applying for small business loan and as we, you know, borrowed from our 401k, you know, we were young enough that, God forbid, it did not go well, we would have time to recover or rebound. It's not like we would never be able to find a job again, especially as a pharmacist. So that's kind of where we started to make the pivot. And I finally got on board with like, okay, let's see. And honestly, things took off very quickly. We had that discussion in July of 2018. At that time, we had almost 4-year-old and almost 1-year-old, and I'm sorry, almost 5-year-old, almost 1-year-old. So, you know, from that time frame, basically from July until getting approved for the small business loan and having, you know, our small business plan and all that submitted in October to finding a space, it was a very fast turnaround because we opened March 6th of 2019, as I mentioned. So I think it was more so my husband was the catalyst. He was the driving force because he said, hey, I really feel like there's so much more we can be doing. I don't feel fulfilled in my career. And yes, I could keep, you know, getting these promotions and, you know, see where it goes and making more money. But I just don't know that that's really for me and my personality. And I think once I kind of got on board with the vision and we really started working together and collaborating, it really took off from there.
I really love the fact that you talked about the financial side, because I think a lot of people are hesitant because of that, right? And so thinking about, in particular, minority-owned businesses, there's a lot of resources out there that are not being tapped, I think, by a lot of minority business owners. But then also the fact that you thought about it very, very methodically, that if it didn't work out, like, you're still a pharmacist, like you can mm-hmm. still get a job anywhere, right? Like, mm-hmm. and so I think that's a really important piece for anybody who's thinking about starting their own independent pharmacy, because, you know, we have lots of areas of this country where they live in pharmacy deserts, mm-hmm. where there's no pharmacy for miles and miles and miles, in particular in rural areas. And so when you think about the kind of services that you guys offer, I think it's important to think about, I think about Toni Morrison. She says this about writing books. If you don't have the book, or you don't see the book out there that you want to read, then you should do it yourself. And I feel like it's the same way with pharmacy. If you don't see what you're looking for, then you should be thinking, hey, maybe this is something I should create myself. And I feel like that's kind of what you guys did, because again, when we look at sort of corporate America, it sometimes is not aligned with our own personal passions and our own personal, you know, guidance. And so I think that that's amazing that your spouse was like, this is not where I feel like I'm being called to be, and, you know, kind of taking that leap of faith. But first and foremost, I think the fact that you did it with a small child, two small children, is to be commended, because that is a lot of effort, even without having your own small business, just having two small children and two parents working full time. So I think that, you know, the concept of work-life balance is a farce. I think that is a lie.
I think so too. You're right.
we say that it's possible. It is not. So something will always take precedent. So I always say that there's harmony. I don't say that there's balance, because something is always going to have to give, right? So sometimes it's the profession, sometimes it's the family life. And so you have to kind of look at it as, you know, things happen in a season. So right now your season is pushing you guys towards building your business and expanding and scaling. And then maybe in a few years, your season will change and you'll be focusing more on things to do to help your boys get into college, right? Like, there's different things that are going to happen, and your priorities are going to shift and things are going to change. I'm curious to talk a little bit more about sort of that community engagement piece. I know that you guys do services, clinical services in the pharmacy, but then you also do some community outreach as well, right?
Yeah. So we do a ton of community outreach. One of my favorite hashtags whenever I'm posting on social media is making a difference beyond the counter. Because while, yes, we are a full service pharmacy, we do dispense medications, we do pill packaging, we do compounding, we do MTM. You know, there's also the, you know, small medical supply section that we have. We also do CBD. There's many things that we do. But I think the thing that we do best is the community engagement piece. And so we're always doing something in our community. And that kind of helps build relationships, because people see you on a regular basis. They build that trust with you. They don't only see us within the four walls of our pharmacy. They see us at health fairs. They see us at community events. They see us at back to school events. They see us all around town. We're constantly being present. And it's really important, because it shows the community, like, hey, we're here. We're trying to enrich the overall health of our community. And that's something that we're very serious about. So we're actually going into some of the busiest seasons or months or season for us of the whole year. So between September and November, we are shots, vaccines galore. In addition to doing anywhere from, you know, 60 to 90 shots a day in store, we're also traveling around to all of our senior local community senior living facilities. In addition to this year, we wind up getting awarded the RFP for Williamsburg James City County Schools. So we're also going to be visiting them to vaccinate their staff. And then this is a college town here. We have William and Mary. And so we're also going to be doing their vaccine. So we are anticipating, in addition to the thousands of vaccines that we usually already do just between in-store and also living communities, we picked up about 2,000 extra vaccines that we're anticipating for this year, with the additions of the college and the local school system. So there is a lot of going out, and that's a service that we offer for free. We do not charge people. You know, we have a staff that travels with a wagon and all of our vaccine, materials, and we come set up shop. We're usually there for anywhere from 2 to 4 hours, and people are able to just kind of trickle through and get their vaccines. And that is with always flu, as well as COVID, and even sometimes pneumonia as well.
That's great. And I also know that, you know, now that we've got the two different RSV presentations, that's going to be a big thing for the fall this year. I know it's something that I've been discussing as we see more COVID cases increasing and hospitalizations. We're still waiting for the new booster to come out, hopefully anticipated by the end of this month, beginning of October. But RSV is a big thing for older adults. So I think it's great that you guys are bringing the services to the people, because a lot of times, you know, people can't come to the pharmacy or they can't get to the location in order to access the services. We see this a lot, obviously, in people who have challenges with food insecurity or housing insecurity or transportation, lack of transportation. So that's something that is a possibility as well. And so I'm really glad to see that you guys are helping with that, because of the fact that, you know, not everybody has a car, not everybody can take, you know, public transportation, you know, 3-4 buses to get to where they need to go, or, you know, have that incentive to prioritize their health. And so I'm wondering, do you guys, in addition to offering the vaccines, do you guys just do like listening sessions or just health education? I know that there's been a big push lately to have pharmacy technicians also get certified as community health workers. So I don't know if that's something that you guys are engaging with. But I know that that is a big part of in general in public health, is utilizing, you know, members of the community in order to get out messaging, to kind of prime the pump and have that foundation before going out and offering services, before people have a chance to say no.
No, I think you hit the nail right on the head there. So yes, we are very active with our local and national associations. And so we are members of the Virginia Pharmacy Association. And through that association, we got pegged to be one of the locations in partnership with the Virginia Department of Health to have the community health worker. So one, actually our lead technician just finished up her certification earlier this year to become a community health worker. So in addition to us actually going into people's homes, so while it doesn't happen as often, not only are we going to senior living communities and also shelters and things like that to provide vaccines, we also have a handful of people who are, like you said, there's insecurity for one reason or another that prevents them from getting out even to a community event. So we actually have done house calls where we'll go to someone's house to administer a vaccine as well. But we try to be very in tune in general with our patients, making them, like, our slogan is, where you're not a customer, where you're family. And we truly try to treat everyone that we engage with on that level, right? And so it's more than just a, you're coming and we're dispensing your medication, or you're coming and we're administering a vaccine for you. We have forged relationships with our patients. So they come in, and when you talk about a listening session, you know, it's almost like, as a pharmacist in a community setting, there's so many roles that you're playing. And part of that, at sometimes you feel a bit like a therapist. I have patients that come in all the time, you know, they will chat with me for 20, 30 minutes in the store. They will ask, can we go into the consultation office? They will call me up on the phone, and they're letting me know about something that's going on in their personal life that's non-related to their pharmaceutical care at all. But I feel that I have a responsibility to still be there for them as they're talking about a cancer diagnosis, as they're talking about, you know, their child who, unfortunately, she and her husband just went through a stillbirth situation. Or if they're talking about something else, maybe they have a child or grandchild who's been struggling with addiction, and they want some feedback on how they could better support that individual in their family. And so there's so many directions that you get pulled in as a community pharmacist, that if you're in an area, in a space where you actually can engage with your patients, you can have such a tremendous impact. And I think that's kind of where, for the local chains, it's lacking. Those pharmacists are so bogged down with the metrics and all these different things from corporate that they can't really focus on and get back to the basics of just true patient care. And in a community independent pharmacy setting, you know, we know years ago, the druggist was who people went to. They weren't going to urgent care. They weren't going to the ER. They would call their pharmacist.
They're still doing that. There was just some data that came out that said that the average adult goes to a pharmacy, whether that's for OTC or for prescription. They have 35 touch points per year.
Correct. That's
35. Often, like that's, if you think about how many times, like that's so many potential missed opportunities to improve people's health.
It is. You know? And to your point, most people are seeing their primary care physician, you know, once, maybe twice a year.
Once a year. Right. And if they do, it's usually because it's for an acute care need, not Correct. For preventative care.
Correct. And as a pharmacist in a community setting, you know, we have a great location. So there is, you know, Starbucks across the street from us. There's a Fresh Market. So there's a grocery store. There's a Cleaners. There's all these things that people hit mm-hmm. on like a daily basis or a weekly basis. So we have patients that will legit come into our pharmacy 2-3 times a week. And it's like an ongoing joke because they are stopping by to visit us. Maybe they have a prescription to pick up. Maybe we're doing a B12 injection for them. Maybe they're getting something over the counter, or maybe they were just getting coffee and they want to stop over and say, hey, and see how our day was going, or give us an update on something that's going on in their life. And so, like you said, there's so many opportunities to connect with patients, but then also to give them the care that they need because you actually know them. So I had a patient mm-hmm. to give you an example, and this is an example I use all the time. You know, he was talking about for a little bit, having these GI issues. He was having stomach issues, couldn't really figure it out. You know, he's in fairly good shape. So it wasn't really seeming like it was his diet or anything, not really on prescription medications like that. Come to find out, though, he had been taking NSAIDs daily on an empty stomach to help with some hip pain. And in that situation, through the conversations that we're having, you know, on a weekly basis, I'm talking to him, asking more, we're trying different things. And then in an organic conversation, you know, he winds up divulging that information to me. And I'm like, hey, hold on. That's an issue. We were able to talk through that. He was then able to make adjustments and he saw an instant improvement. And that was just through regular everyday conversation. So pharmacists, when given the opportunity, definitely have a chance to really impact their patients overall.
One more thing that I wanted to chat with you about was just, so you had mentioned that you guys got an RFP and that you've been granted a few other opportunities. For people who aren't sure what that is, so that's a request for funding proposal. So some people may not know what that is, and I'm familiar with that space because obviously I work within other opportunities where I've applied for RFPs or been part of organizations that have applied for RFPs. I'm just curious, like, is this something that you knew about because of networking? I know you are pretty active with your small business association mm-hmm. in your area, or your chamber. I know you're yes. active in your chamber too. Mm-hmm. And so I was just curious, like, for people who don't know that those things exist, because a lot of times I think people think about grant funding, or they think about like either just like a W-2 quote unquote job, or maybe a contractual agreement like a 1099, but this is a very different thing where you're basically being paid to do a very specific project, and they put out a call for organizations to apply. So I don't know if you want to maybe chat about like where that came to be, or if there's data that you're using about, you know, metrics around your patient's health that you're mm-hmm. using to apply and then get these funds.
So I think that was actually something that my husband, he became privy to that information when he was with his previous employer, because they were applying for certain things on a larger scale. And so he was able to use the knowledge from his previous work experience and then bring that with him to the prescription shop. And that's why when I say so many of the things and the opportunities that we've had still come from our experience working into the retail setting, because again, we had no small business experience on our own. All of the things that you're seeing come to fruition is based on our personal work history and experiences prior to starting the prescription shop. So that was something that somewhere along the line with Walmart, he learned about that. They were doing that. And so then he was like, okay, so there's a lot of things that we have been able to implement because we were aware of it from a different experience that we were now able to bring to the prescription shop to help us take our pharmacy to another level.
That's amazing. The other thing too, I wanted to point out was the fact that you have partnered with health department. So really love that that is something that you are engaging in. And I would like to just, you know, point out that that's always an option. Like the health department is always looking for collaborators, like 100%. I'm part of my Medical Reserve Corps. There's lots of different ways that having that relationship with the health department can be very fruitful for anybody who works within pharmacy. So it could be an opportunity for you to get more experience with a new technique. So like during when we were having Mpox shots, like a lot of people didn't know how to give intradermal because that wasn't something that we were taught in school. So, you know, having training sessions, going there, having opportunities to get more experience with pediatric vaccination administration. I know that that's something I personally got an opportunity to do when I was at the health department as their clinical pharmacist for our county health department here in Las Vegas. And so that was an opportunity that I feel like I probably would not have had if I wasn't embedded in a public health department. But even just partnerships or allyship, which it sounds like you have, and even just having community health workers embedded in your institution, I think is a huge benefit. And a lot of times they're looking for places for them to be, and it's of no cost to you as, you know, as the employer. So just wanted to point that out as well, because you mentioned that you had that partnership too.
If I could, I just wanted to comment on that. You're exactly right. With the health department, we've been able to do many partnerships with them. So through COVID, they featured us on a commercial. Obviously, we know that around the country, Black and brown people had a lot of reservation about getting that vaccine. So as a Black-owned pharmacy, they came to us, hey, let's partner. We put out a commercial. That was something that people could see. They could hear that from our mouths. But in addition to that, we partner with them as it relates to our patients who suffer locally, who are dealing with and living with HIV. And so they send us their HIV patients. We are sending out their PrEP. That's a partnership that we have with them. And then in addition to that, we're also listed on their site as a place that you can come to get travel vaccines. All pharmacies do not offer yellow fever, rabies shots, all of those type of things. And so we have patients that will travel over an hour to come to us to get those vaccines because they're going to get in gearing up to doing some type of international travel. And they always say, oh yeah, I looked you up. I found you on the health department. So it's such a valuable partnership to have. And I can't harp on that enough.
Which, by the way, travel vaccines are quite lucrative. So I would also say that as well, that like just travel medicine and travel vaccinations, like that's a whole, like there is a provider here in Las Vegas that's all he does is mm-hmm. just travel medicine. So he does all of the paperwork for them. He does all of their vaccines. He, does all of the, like the prep work, all of that. And obviously like immigration, refugee assistance is in there as well. I did a little bit of that when I was at the health department and specifically working with the tuberculosis clinic. And so those are all things that as pharmacists, we can get more involved in. And it's not only something that you can do that's good for the community, but also is revenue generating and is just good business. So I'm so happy to hear that alignment is allowing them to not only provide a service to somebody who may not be able to get it with them, but that they're also featuring you as, as a trusted source for these services, in addition to them potentially being able to go to the health department. So that's incredible. So I think these are all lessons. These are all like best practices that hopefully people at home who are listening are checking the boxes and saying, okay, I need to be going to my local health department. I need to be thinking about ways I can partner, thinking about, if I have a project that I want to do that I'm not sure how I can pay for, looking into ways, that it could be funded through things like RFP requests and, searching for those kinds of things. And then just thinking about being a small business owner. If you're curious about it, your local SBA is a great resource. Your local chamber is a great resource. So even if you're just toiling with the idea, right? Not, in your case where you were like, no to your husband, right? Like you can go to a meeting and find out some information. And I think that would definitely help either dissuade you or help lift your sails and push you into a direction that could be one of the best decisions of your life, which it sounds like it was for you guys.
Yes, absolutely. I cannot You're right. I, when you talk about the relationship with the chamber, I think too, you have to remember that yes, we're pharmacists, but if you're in the space of being an independent pharmacy owner, you still are a business owner. And so you still have to treat it like a business. And so you cannot stay confined within those four walls. You have to be out there. You have to be promoting. You know, people say it all the time. If you're not networking, you're not working. And it's so true. We have forged so many relationships with other small business owners in our community through partnerships with the chamber. And what it has led to is even more growth for our small business because we're able to collaborate and do things, even though they may be in completely different industries, we find ways to partner. And it winds up giving our business publicity, it gives their business publicity. And it's also positively impacting our community as a whole. And so they are such a valuable asset. I encourage you, attend meetings, join a committee, go to their events, get to know the people who are in leadership roles, because they're always going to be willing to help you. They want to see you, you know, thrive, because you thriving means that they're thriving as a chamber. And so that's a very important piece.
Yeah. And, you know, most of the time they're, especially if you're a small business, or if you're a solopreneur like myself, they have reduced membership fees. Mm-hmm. So it's typically based on the number of employees that you have and the size of your business. So I don't want people to feel like, oh, you know, I can't join a big old giant chamber. I don't have that kind of money. A lot of times there's discounted rates or even trial periods where you can come and just attend meetings and you don't have to pay anything. So, but yeah, those are all good things. Obviously this podcast is public health related and pharmacy related, but I'm so glad that we got to talk a little bit about some of the business side, because that is stuff that we are not actively taught in school, and even our physician and nurse colleagues that end up going out on their own and starting their own independent practices. A lot of times I listen to them and they say, you know, this is stuff that like nobody told me when I, you know, was starting out and thinking, oh gosh, maybe I should have gone back and gotten that MBA, or, you know, I really wish somebody had, you know, given me some of this advice, because healthcare, unfortunately, there's a big chunk of it that has nothing to do with health, right? Mm-hmm. And the providing of that care has so much on the backside of it that, you know, I'm glad that you've been able to find this like happy place where you're able to obviously be sustainable, be able to pay employees. You basically have created your own micro economy within your employees and your pharmacy. And then you've now expanded that as you move to have your new location. But I think, you know, that aspect of it, and then also being able to provide really good quality care, is that sweet spot that we haven't been able to see, because a lot of the chain pharmacies, unfortunately, have prioritized profit over patients.
I mean, that's a fact. The reality is that, yes, if you have a business, whether small business, you know, large business, whatever the case may be, you have to be able to be profitable, right? I mean, you can't stay alive. You can't stay in business without that piece. But you can't confuse the fact that it's not an interchangeable thing. It doesn't have to be one or the other. It doesn't have to be patient care or profitability. It can be both, especially if you're very intentional about it. And I think that when you treat people or patients like people versus a number, you will always have return on your investment. And that is what we've seen in just a short 4.5 years since we opened the prescription shop. And not even just your patients, but also your employees, your staff members, your associates. When you sow into them, you reap those benefits. And we've seen that time and time again. Like we have, I say all the time, and not just because I'm biased, some of the best staff members. They are truly committed to our vision, and they really take on our small business like it is theirs as well. And that's because Henry and I have gone above and beyond to foster this servant leadership type of atmosphere. I'm not asking my technicians to do anything that I would not do myself. So they see me answer the phone, ring the register, they see me change trash. They see me clean the toilet. I am showing them and modeling for them in my small business my level of commitment, and then they're able to mirror that back to me. So it has been a wonderful experience. It's one that we hope to continue growing and expanding in different spaces. Another partnership that we recently wind up working on with the Virginia Department of Health is HIV and hepatitis C testing. So now we're listed on their site for that. So there's so many ways that you can
amazing.
evolve and grow and change. And that's why when I say this is the most fulfilled I've ever been in my career, it's really true, because I feel like, you know, the sky's the limit. Whatever we want to implement, whatever project we want to take on, whatever area we want to grow and expand into, you know, we can do that. And so it's a very exciting time at the prescription shop, and not just for my husband and I, but also for all of our associates. They're just as excited about the growth and the opportunity to expand as we are.
Yeah, I think like attracts like, you know, like that's the positivity, like it attracts it, right? So like what you're modeling, people are seeing, but they're also, you attracted what you're emulating, right? So I think that's also part of why you've probably gotten staff that are so malleable and attentive and are able to really foster and uphold your mission and your vision for the community and then also for your business. And I agree, you know, people are not numbers. They are, you know, humans that are deserving of care, compassion, and love. And when you are in a situation where you are rushed or you are unable to take that extra few minutes to talk to that person about, you know, their child and them, you know, having issues or personal problems, all of those things, like that is the whole patient. And those lived experiences and or traumas that they've experienced all influence whether or not they're going to stay on their medication, take it as directed, or whether or not they're going to choose not to prioritize their health. So I think all of that has to be done. It's just a lot of times we're not able to do all of those things. And it sounds like you've found the magic formula. I don't know how you did it, but you've really been able to really hit the mark. And you know, I'm sad that I don't live closer because I wish I had something like that in my community.
Oh, we would love to have you. We do mail out prescriptions as well, but you know what?
It's a little far. I think
yeah,
we're a
it
bit
is.
Far.
It is. But the you know what? The recipe is a dose of compassion. When you treat people and you see people and you hear people, that's appreciated. And they become loyal patients. They become more patient. If we're in a situation where, like I mentioned, in our busiest time of the year, where we're in there doing, you know, 70 shots in one day, it can be pretty hectic. But if a patient shows up and maybe they're waiting 5 minutes for our prescription that should have been ready the day before, they're much more gracious. They're much more understanding because they have developed that relationship with you. They see how hard you're working. They know you and they're fine with it. So they are able to give you grace in a way that maybe they wouldn't if they were visiting somewhere else. And so it's just, it kind of all works hand in hand, truly does.
Well, this has been such a just delightful conversation. Thank you so much for your time today, Jade, and all of the work that you're doing in your community. And I hope that our listeners and then those who watch us on YouTube when this is released on YouTube, that they will take some of these points and potentially incorporate them into their own practices. And I think maybe even inspired some new possible independent pharmacy owners. So thank you so much again. And I typically ask this question of my guests, and I know I'm probably going to throw you a bit for a loop because I didn't tell you I was going to ask this, but if there was anything that you could tell your younger self, what would it be and why?
I think it would be to trust the process, right? Like, delayed is not denied. And when I reflect on my pharmacy school career, I, unlike my husband, who was someone who basically was able to work 40 hours a week as an intern because he had to support himself, you know, great grades. He did not have to study as hard. I was someone who really had to study hard, and I still struggled through pharmacy school. And there was many times where I thought about giving up. Maybe this isn't for me, because I really thrive in the space of reading and writing, and math and science has not really been my strong suit. But because this is something that I wanted to do, I kind of had to stick with it in order to get the degree that I wanted. But it's such a full circle moment, because when I remember who I was then and the insecurity that I had and feeling like I'm not doing as well as some of my other classmates and I'm killing myself and my grades are still just, you know, okay. What I know now is that, you know, yes, book smarts matter, grades matter, but the reality is that you can look anything up when you know the right resources. But something that can't be taught, something that you have to have, like I said, is that compassion for others and also the passion for what you're doing. And so when I see myself now, it just makes me smile because I know that so many of my patients feel so thankful that I get to be a pharmacy provider for them. And at the time when I was in pharmacy school, I always wondered, would I ever be in a position to be able to serve my patients at a high level based off of some of my test scores? You know what I'm saying? And so that's why I'm very much an advocate for pharmacy students. We mentor tons of them. We are a preceptor site. And that's something I always try to drive home to them. Yes, the book, the didactic work is important. And I'm never going to take anything away from that. But if you have heart, if you have the passion, if you have the will, if you're willing to work hard, you will succeed.
Yeah, there are plenty of things that I can teach, but I can't teach compassion. I can't teach you to have a soul. I can't teach you to care.
You're right.
So that has to come already baked in the cake. Well, again, thank you so much for your time today. I just, I'm such a huge supporter of what you're doing. And I'm so glad that you're able to bring those kinds of services to your community. And I hope that it will serve as inspiration for more so that we can see more of these types of services offered all across the country.
Well, thank you with that, for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, yes. No, thank you so much for your time, because I know you're busy because you own a bunch of stuff. So that being said, this has been another incredible episode of Public Health Matters, which is part of the Pharmacy Times Pharmacy Focus podcast series. Again, I am your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. Please find us on social media, subscribe. We would love for you to tell us how you liked this episode or some of our other episodes that we've had with some other extraordinary healthcare leaders. And again, remember, public health matters.